Exodus chapter 23. Do not spread false rumors, what we might call fake news today. Do not give false evidence in assisting someone who is guilty. Do not follow the majority to do evil or to pervert justice. Now, it's so easy to do what the majority do. And there is the idea that, oh yeah, the majority must be right. Well, I will do that. But we're told in Isaiah that we like sheep go astray. We all tend to follow the crowd. And the call of true relationship with God and with the Lord Jesus is to be independent and to think and act before God in fear and respect of his ways, not of what people think, or let alone the majority. Do not show bias against a poor man when he's judged. So don't assume that poor people are wrong and stupid and criminal, etc. It's often not the case. It's often rich people who've got rich by being deceitful. If you happen to see your enemy's cow or donkey that's got lost, take it back to him. If his donkey has fallen down under its heavy load, help him to get the donkey on its feet again. Do not hide your eyes from this. So if you see your enemy's donkey who's been unreasonably laden with a heavy burden and is collapsed underneath it, you don't think, oh, that's typical of that guy, always putting too much on his donkey. Help the donkey. In other words, help people who are suffering because of what other people have done to them. And don't just think, huh, that shows how bad those people are who made those poor people suffer. People are people and need our help. Don't refuse justice to a poor man when he appears before the judge. In other words, don't think that because someone's poor, therefore, they're not going to do me any favours. Therefore, I'm not going to show them justice. The whole idea of the Bible is justice for the poor. Do not make false accusations. Do not put innocent people to death, because I will cut off the man who does this evil thing. Do not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes and destroys the cause of the innocent. Do not badly treat a foreigner, because you know the heart of a foreigner, because you were foreigners when you were in Egypt. So again, as we keep seeing in the law of Moses, what was our position before we were baptized, that is, before we crossed the Red Sea, as it were, that is the position that many people are still in. And we have got to show them grace and salvation as we were shown. For 6 years, you can sow your field and gather what it produces. But in the seventh year, let the land rest. Don't harvest whatever grows on the field. Let the poor eat what grows there. And let the wild animals eat what is left. And the same must be your attitude to your vineyards and oliveyards. In other words, don't be so desperate to try to always make money and get the maximum harvest, the maximum profit. Now, of course, this is not how the world in which we live in works at all, but that is what we're being told. You shall work 6 days in the week, but on the seventh day you shall not work, and also your slaves and your foreigners who work for you, and also your animals can rest. So God cares for animals. He's saying, look, give the animals a rest on the seventh day as well. You shall hearken to all that I, the Lord, have spoken to you. Do not worship other gods, nor even have their names in your mouths. In other words, don't even talk about idols. It's a really very high standard to be focused upon God and not talk about idols. You shall keep 3 feasts a year to me. In the month of Abib, the month in which you came up out of Egypt, you are to keep the feast of unleavened bread, as was commanded you. You are not to eat any bread that's made with leaven or yeast throughout the 7 days of the feast. you are not to come to worship me without bringing an offering. Well, you remember what David said, I will not offer to the Lord what costs me nothing. Remember when he's told he's urgently got to make a sacrifice to stop the plague spreading among the people, and Araunah says to him, oh, look, here's some animals, you take these. And he said, oh, I must pay you for them. And Araunah says, no, just take them, you don't have to pay me for them. And David says, I will not sacrifice that which costs me nothing. And this is a principle that we must be willing to sacrifice, to be minus, as it were, after we've given. You are to keep the Feast of Ingathering when you harvest your crops. Celebrate the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles or Shelters. That was in the autumn. When you gather in the fruit from your vineyards and from your olive yards. So each year at these three feasts, all your men must appear before me. So because they were to keep the feast three times a year, that meant that three times a year, all the men were to go to the sanctuary where the tabernacle was. And that's why when the 2.5 tribes said, now we want to live the other side of Jordan, they were really saying, well, we're not that bothered about getting in to keep the feasts. And so they slipped away from God. And that's how it is if one puts themselves on the edge of the things of God. You are not to offer any kind of food made with yeast when you offer an animal to me. The fat of the animals that you sacrifice during these feasts must not be left on the altar until the next day. Each year, bring to the house of the tabernacle, the dwelling place of Yahweh your God, the first fruits of your corn harvest. Do not boil a lamb or a young goat in its mother's milk. I will send an angel ahead of you to protect you as you travel and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Hear him and obey him. Do not rebel against him because I have sent him, and he will not pardon your rebellion. But if you obey him and do all that I command, I will fight against your enemies. My angel will go before you and will bring you into the land of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and I will destroy them. Do not worship their gods. Do not take on the ways of their worship. Destroy their idols, break down their stone pillars. If you are to worship me as Yahweh your God, I will bless you with food and water and will take away from you all sickness. In your land, no woman will miscarry or lose her children, and I will extend your lives. I will make the people there who are against you afraid of me, and I will bring terror upon the people against whom you fight, and I will make all your enemies flee from you. That's what happened really with Jericho. That's what Rahab said. Our hearts melted because of you. And so when the 10 spies came back and said, no, it's too difficult, we can't enter the land, they simply weren't believing these promises. I will throw your enemies into a panic. That's just what Rahab says, how it was with them. And I will drive out the Hivites, Canaanites, and Hittites as you come closer to them. I will not drive them out within just 1 year, because if that were to be the case, the land would become full of wild animals. Instead, I will drive them out slowly, bit by bit, until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. I will make the borders of the land extend from the river of Egypt to the sea, to the Mediterranean Sea, and from the desert to the river Euphrates. I will give you power over the inhabitants of the land, and you will drive them out. Do not make any covenant with them, nor with their gods. Do not let those people live in your country, because if they do, they will bring you to worship their gods, which will be a snare to you. And unfortunately, as we read in the book of Judges, that is exactly what Israel did do. They were simply not obedient to what God says here. And this is, of course, the great warning for us, not to go the way of the world and not to worship idols. and to worship God and be focused upon Him, knowing that we are separate from this world.